Welcome to another edition of the EA-HCP Steward Podcast. After many months of searching for an endangered species refugia partner, the HCP team decided on the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and BioWest collaboration. Talking with us today about the agreement and future refugia work is Chad Furl, the Edwards Aquifer Authority's Chief Science Officer, and Ken Ostrand, Deputy Director of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Aquatic Resource Center. So, Ken, let's start from the beginning and kind of let everybody know exactly what a refugia is.
A refugia is a way to bring species from the wild, bring them into a captive setting, and we maintain those species in a captive setting in case something unusual in the habitat occurs. So, for example, many of us remember the drought from a couple of years ago when the springs were very, very low. In that particular scenario, we had a species complement here at the station that if those species went extinct, we would be able to put those back into the wild, and hopefully those populations would expand and that species would be saved from extinction.
And what's unique about this particular refugia and this particular program that we're getting ready to start up?
Well, I think there's a couple of unique factors in this. One is the public support. I think that's incredibly important. The contribution of all the partners around here has been extremely beneficial and important for the success of this program. Secondly, I think it's unique because it's such a diverse group of species. A lot of refugias around the country really focus on a very singular organism. They might have black-footed ferrets, for example, in Wyoming. But in this particular case, we're dealing with plants, insects, fish, and amphibians, and they're all very, very unique in what they require, what they need to eat, and what their habitat needs to look like in the wild.
So, Chad, talk to us a little bit about how this program is going to be managed and how many partners are involved and, you know, just kind of how that operations program will work.
Sure. Well, first of all, the Edwards Aquifer is thrilled to be working with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife to execute this refugia contract. Again, we're very excited that we have these partners. We're able to leverage their many decades worth of experience working with these species. They have a very highly qualified staff. Have some already very nice existing facilities that we can complement, and there's some minimal construction and other infrastructure things needed.
So essentially, the EAA is contracting with Fish and Wildlife Service to complete, I guess, this whole operation.
Sure. So the contract that we moved through our Research and Technology Committee last week, and we plan to bring to our board on November 8th, is a roughly 12-year contract through 2028. To hold the refugia facilities here in San Marcos along with the backup site at the Uvalde National Fish Hatchery.
All right, so Ken, let's talk a little bit about the actual facility itself. I understand, first of all, you're going to have to construct some more facilities. So talk a little bit about that, and then I'm kind of interested in that quarantine building. Let's talk about the new facilities.
Sure, let's start with the quarantine building because that's really the beginning part of establishing a refugia population. So when we go out and we collect wild species, we want to bring those into the facility. We bring those into a quarantine building, and that is isolated from all the other species that are being held on station. We keep them there, and we run diagnostic tests on them, similar to if you went to the doctor's office and you complained of having a cold or the flu. They would run through a series of different tests to make sure that, you know, you were healthy. We do the same thing with all the organisms here on station. We want to make sure that the animals we bring in from the wild are healthy before we introduce them into our general population. That way we are ensured that we are not introducing something that's going to decimate what we're holding on station. And so we run through both bacteria, viruses, and parasites. And once they're cleared, then we incorporate those into our general population, as I said before. And then we move forward with all the other activities that we have here on station.
Okay. And so you're going to add also some buildings here, I guess, for this particular project?
Yeah, we're going to add one small building that will house the actual, what we call standing stock. Standing stock is just a number of animals of each species. that we hold on station for unexpected events that might occur. For example, contamination spill within the aquifer itself, or perhaps maybe an oil tanker going over the edge of I-35 into the river, something of that nature. And those would be held within that building, and it would be a complement from each species group that is covered under the Endangered Species Act.
Okay, so Chad, let's talk a little bit about Ken mentioned some of the species that we're talking about. How many total are there?
Yeah, so we have 7 federally listed species and 3 petitioned species that are included in this contract.
Most people know about the fountain darter and the blind salamander, but what other endangered species will you be housing here?
Sure, the blind salamander and the fountain darter are probably the poster children for this program. They're the ones that probably the most know about, they're very visible. The ones people probably don't consider are the invertebrate species that we have. You know, these are small, tiny animals that we're talking about here. And we have a number of these that we're going to be keeping in the refugia, including the Comal Springs riffle beetle, a dryopid beetle, Peck's Cave amphipod, and then a couple, or the couple of that are petitioned as well.
So that really kind of leads us to the next topic of research. There's probably been research done and a lot of information known about the fountain darter and the blind salamander, but what about these smaller species that we probably don't know a lot about?
Mm-hmm. So you're absolutely right, John. It's important to have a very quality and healthy research program to make this refugia work, because we don't know a lot about the life history of some of these lesser-known species. There have been decades of cumulative research that have gone into the fountain darters and some of the Eurasia, but we don't know as much about the macroinvertebrates. So again, this is one of the reasons that we're absolutely thrilled to be working with Fish and Wildlife, because they're quite experienced in conducting these sort of research programs and can get us the answers we need to have a successful refugia program.
And Ken, what are you guys hoping to learn through this research?
We really want to be able to predictably be able to produce any number of animals from all of these different species groups and be able to successfully stock them back out in case they are extirpated. And so that's the ultimate goal.
So it kind of brings us to that big question of, you know, why is all of this important? And I know there are several reasons that, and you guys probably have different thoughts about that. So, Chad, why don't we start with you and, you know, talk to us about why this is important, maybe to the HCP in itself.
Sure, John. This is an important activity, namely for compliance with the Habitat Conservation Plan and the ITP permit, but there's also a greater good here that we're working after of caring for these endangered species and doing our best to ensure that there is no extinction, that at least we can control that with a refugia or attempt to control it.
Mm-hmm. And Ken, Fish and Wildlife Service has been doing this for a long, long time. So, you know, what are some thoughts about how this could be important, I guess, in the overall environmental cause?
Sure. We want to ensure that these species don't go extinct for future generations. And we don't want to hold up economic development. We don't want to hold up the wonderful things that are going on in our communities and the quality of life that we all enjoy here in Central Texas. And in order to do that, the refugia acts as an insurance policy, if you will, against overutilizing some of our resources and the potential that some of these species could go extinct. And we would like to save these species for future generations.
That's great information. Thanks, guys, for your time.